Hello and welcome to another edition of the HTXTU.Africast. My name is Brendan Lutz, and joining me in our studio today on the line is Nick Cowan.
Hello!
And Clinton Matos.
That's me. Hello, everybody.
Such a big delay. Why is there such a big delay?
I don't know.
I feel like the answer is South African internet.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's nice to hear from you again. I haven't actually seen you yet, because I was away last week.
Yeah.
But it's good to hear from you.
How was it? How was your holiday?
The holiday, it was glorious. When is a holiday never good?
When you get sick.
I suppose that's a fair
point. You always
get
sick when you go on holiday.
All right, so while I was away, Clinton, you found some interesting news about Steam.
Yeah, so this came up yesterday, and we're going to talk less about this raw big number and more about how people use it. So, Nick, you're not much of a PC gamer, so you might be an unbiased third party. So, Right. Basically, Steam has a refund system in place. You can refund any game at any time as long as you're within a certain time of buying it and you've played less than 2 hours. And news came out yesterday that the platform handles 60,000 refund requests per day. That it says it's up from 50,000 refund requests since last month. And in some cases, there are days where they had 100,000 refund requests, right? Which is ridiculous. I mean, that is a huge amount of people buying games and then offering and then asking for a refund. And it says that the typical response time is between 48 minutes and one hour, 45 minutes. So a lot of people are getting their stuff refunded. What I want to ask you, because this is what I want to ask both of you in the audience, I suppose, because this popped up in the comment section on Reddit. Is it morally okay to use Steam's refund system to demo games? Basically, a try before you buy. Because what a lot of people are doing is paying for a game full price, playing it for the 2 hours or less than the 2 hours, and then if they like it, they don't do anything, they just keep the game. But if it's not what they expect or they don't like it, they then get a refund. I'm not 100% sure what Steam's policy is on this, but when this came out, they did say that this is not a system to basically try games, but that's how many people are using it. In the comments, some people were saying they were like getting 10 games in 1 week and refunding them all just to try them out. So I want to know from you guys, what do you think of that?
Are there not free demos available for these people?
No. Nick, where have you been for the last 20 years? No one makes demos anymore. Well, demos are just things which don't exist.
Well, maybe they should.
Well, maybe the conclusion to this. Maybe if you don't want people refunding your games, you should make demos. But that's a separate discussion. I want to know what you guys think of using the refunds as kind of a demo system. Is it morally okay?
Well, for me, okay, so a game costs what nowadays? 900 Rand? 800, 900 Rand?
Well, okay, so that's where it gets all freaky, because a new game in South Africa on console is usually a grand, right?
Yeah.
But on Steam, it can vary from a grand for a brand new indie game to like 800 to 700 Rand for some other titles that are also AAA. And then you get indie games that are anything from like 500 downwards. So the range of prices is massive on Steam. So it's not always 1,000 Rand, but it can get that high. But, I mean, some indie games that are rather good are 200 Rand or 130 Rand. So it's not always those big ticket games.
So, like, if I look at Steam right now, for example, if I wanted to try out Tekken 7, that's 899 Rand I have to put down. And then I refund the game. And then how does it work? I get Steam credit back, correct?
So you can get back whatever you put in. So in South Africa, the only two options are Steam Wallet and your credit card. If you used your credit card or your debit card, they will send it back to you, the full amount, but it takes 15 days, if I remember correctly. And Steam Wallet comes back in about a day. I actually refunded a game recently, which is why I wanted to talk about this. And I got my Steam Wallet back the next day, my Steam Wallet account of like $20.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still waiting for it to go back into my bank. So it does take a while. It's not instant.
So well, it's kind of an expensive thing to do to just try and get a free demo.
Well,
it's not really free because you have to buy the game outright.
No, here's another thing, right? So sorry, just to cut you off. That's assuming you use your credit card, right? So say if you are a serial refunder, you'll probably load up like $500 into your Steam wallet, and then you only need to wait 1 or 2 days before those funds are available to you again. So there are ways to get around the system where you're shuffling this money around and you can get a new game every 2 days.
So then my next question is, what's the harm?
Well, okay. So I think it's against Steam's policy, right? Some of these people who say they do 10 games in a week, I ask them, it's like, haven't you got an email from Steam that's been like, hey, maybe don't do that? And basically they said, yes, I've gotten those emails, but they haven't done anything to me yet. The wording this guy used was pretty funny. It's like, hey, please don't do that. But nothing has happened. I mean, I haven't seen any, not just on this story, but I haven't seen anyone who said, hey, I refunded a lot of games and then Steam shut me down. So
that does happen though, doesn't it?
Well, it's supposed to. I'm just saying I haven't seen it happen yet. So if you ask what the harm is, I think sometimes it's bad for little developers because they get the money, but then they have to pay it back to Steam, and it's a headache for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just put down what I interpret what you've just said, just to make sure that I've got all the facts in front of me. What you're essentially saying is that there are people out there who, you know, either on their credit cards or through some finagling and loading up money into their Steam wallet, will go to Steam store, buy a game outright, play it for the minimum of the hours that it takes that you can still get a refund, and then decide whether or not they like it. And if they don't, they ask for a refund, and if they do, they keep it.
Yes, that's 100% right.
That's morally wrong.
Well, Nori, yes, do you think it's morally right? And what is your take? Would you do this? Have you done it before?
Well, yeah, like you said, I mean, my thing is that I don't do much PC gaming. I do mainly console gaming. And the thing is that before and here's the other thing. We also have to point out that for us to say stuff like this is slightly disingenuous because we are sent review and promo copies of games on PC and on console to review. So there may be times when we get games early and we like them, we get to keep them, or we don't like them when we give them to our friends, but we don't have any financial investment there.
Sure, but Nick, I spend a lot of money buying my own games, so
I realize this, but this is not all about you. I mean, I'm giving you my example as a console jockey, which is basically like, for example, I didn't get sent a copy of Dishonored 2 last year, but I really wanted to have a look at it, but I also had some misgivings. So I read a bunch of reviews, I watched a bunch of, you know, Wii Plays or whatever, talked to some people who played it, and then I thought, well, okay, I'll take a flyer on it. Bought it, took it home, didn't get into it for the first couple of hours, but persevered with it. Now, I wouldn't be able to refund that, but, I say I wouldn't be able to refund it. I'd be able to take it back and get a diminished amount of store credit, but I'm not sure that there's a moral case to answer here. I really am not. I mean, the only sort of bad side I could see to this, apart from the logistical headache that Steam would have to contend with in order to process as many refunds as you say they're having to process, is the idea that, like, let's say you make a game and you put it on Steam loads and loads of people buy it outright. So you have this amazing spike in sales, and then you have to give all of that money back because those people refunded that game. And then word gets around that your game isn't actually really worth buying. Yeah. See what I mean? Now, but then again, I don't feel too sorry for those people who've made that game, because if your game was any good, people would keep it. Now, I don't know if you saw this recently, because there was a very long read that was published on Polygon about you know, how Valve has very much managed their brand of Steam incredibly well, in that Gabe Newell and Valve are still looked at as some sort of like the rebel alliance within the video games industry, right? But the fact of the matter is that they've got an almost monopoly on the sale of on the digital model of selling PC games. And there's a particular paragraph I'll read to you here, which, you know, you have more experience than this than me, so you give me your hot take on this. We all eventually discovered that our close personal and entirely fictional relationship with Valve did not entitle us to any kind of refund to our purchases. But it took the better part of a decade for enough people to start noticing that Steam's refund policy wasn't so much a policy as the words "eat shit and die" printed in huge size 72 font, and to start raising hell about it. We were used to buying our PC games in stores, and we had recourse if they didn't work. We could go talk to someone. Steam never provided that luxury, and it still doesn't. The occasional no-refund horror story was dismissed as the exception and not the rule. It didn't cause near enough damage to the good guy Valve golden brand. And an incredible 11 years passed before people were possessed enough or indignant enough to actually complain to the authorities. And here's an interesting thing. Players began noting that what Valve was doing was actually wildly illegal, pointing out quite accurately, for example, that under European law, consumers are entitled to a refund on all purchases, even for something as simple as changing their minds.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to mention, is that there were a lot of rumors circling around that the only reason Steam did this wasn't out of the kindness of their hearts, but because they were being pressed by the EU for not following their laws. And when they made this refund agreement, they thought, hey, it will look real bad if we only offer it in Europe. We're going to offer it everywhere. That's always been my understanding of why it was implemented in the first place.
Well, you see, you're slightly wrong there, because what happened with the EU law was that Valve's solution to that was basically an entirely new ULA customs made for good gamers of the European Union, which specifically acknowledges that they have the legal right to a refund, and then immediately forced them to waive it if they want to purchase the game.
I thought that. How can you waive a right?
Believe you me, sport. It's very easy. It's called like signing up to terms and conditions.
No,
we have
but
the right to this. We have the right to that. We have the right to the next thing.
I mean, I thought it was illegal to sign away rights. I thought if you had a right to like human dignity, you can't sign the contract that says you have to. I don't know. Do things that take your dignity away.
Well, there's levels here. For example, you can't sign a waiver to your right to life. You know, you can't sign a contract saying like, you know, if I agree to come around and clear your gutters, you can pay me a certain amount of money. But if you're not satisfied with the job, you get to shoot me in the head with a pistol.
Like, exactly.
Right. But
They're not the same thing, but I thought they were comparable.
Waiving consumer rights is quite different.
Yeah.
What really happened to turn this around, apparently, was a ruling in Australia. That suit ended with Valve having to cough up about $3 million in fines. And I think that's when the refund policy kind of came in. We should probably link to this underneath the podcast. I'll send you the link, Clinton. But yeah, it's a very good article called "Valve is Not Your Friend and Steam is Not Healthy for Gaming" by Tim Colwell.
It's always been my understanding that most gamers understand that Steam is pretty, not shady, but they're kind of, everyone knows Steam isn't really the good guy and they're just out for money. I think everyone's known that for a long time after they opened the floodgates for early access and green light and people posting terrible games. Many people don't like Steam, and the only reason they use it anymore is it's because it's the easiest and the cheapest. I mean, that's why I use them. No other like digital retailer offers local pricing in rand that isn't just a conversion straight from dollars, which is more expensive. That's the only reason I use them. But just to get back to the refunds,
Sorry, to answer your question, no, I don't think there is anything morally wrong with it at all. I think that if you were hyped about a game or you wanted to check out a game and you had the asking price to buy the whole game and then you adhered to the terms and conditions under that contract under which you bought that game, in that you bought it, you played it for like an hour or 2 hours or however long you had to keep the time level under in order to qualify for a refund, and you decided you wanted a refund, then I'm sorry, there's an old saying like the customer's always right that springs to mind.
Yeah. You, Brendan?
So I kind of understand that Steam has a policy and all of these things, but I kind of side with Nick. Like, if you want to use that refund as a way to get a demo out of the game, in air quotation marks,
yeah,
I think you should be allowed to do that, especially if you're able to cough up the full amount of the game. And
yeah,
like, I mean, that's the crux in this matter for me, is that you still need to pay the full amount to be able to get a demo. And who's Valve to say that I'm giving the game back because I was demoing it or because I didn't like it? I mean, how they can't make that call for me unless they find that I'm one of these serial refunders that keeps going around. But then, like, there's lots of free-to-play games, guys. Just play those.
Yeah.
I don't think it's morally wrong at all.
Let me tell you guys the last time I refunded a game, and that will kind of give you an idea. So I bought the game Flint Hook shortly after release, full price. Saw lots of good coverage. It's a roguelike, which is my kind of game. Played it for a little bit, and although it's okay, it's a decent game, it was terrible to play because of the way the default key bindings work. Controller is even worse, but I was playing on keyboard and mouse. And, you know, if key bindings are bad, you usually just rebind them. You know, that's what you do. But you cannot rebind your controls in Flint Hook. Now, this was actually a deal breaker for me because the game has a lot of platforming and the controls are obviously important to platforming. So I went on Twitter and I asked the developers in my own personal capacity, are you going to be doing custom key binding anytime soon? They told me no, just flat out no, we're not going to do it. And I refunded the game because it was literally uncomfortable because you need to use shift most of the time and I was breaking my pinky. It was very difficult for me to play and I wasn't going to put up with that. Now, some people would argue that I could have used some third-party software to map like shift to my another mouse button or something like that. But I shouldn't have to jump through hoops to play your game. I want to play the game the way I want to play it, so I refunded it. Now I thought I was in my like rights to do that. Now, another game I refunded was for a much lesser reason. It was called Everspace. And Everspace was one of those games where after I played 10 minutes, I played the entire game. And I refunded that because I felt that it didn't live up to what I was promised from the marketing material. And I've never used the refunds as a demo system, but I cannot fault anyone who does. First of all, it's all legal what you're doing. It's much better than the alternative, which is pirating the game and having the full version for free. And second of all, I honestly believe that developers and publishers have brought this on themselves because they stopped making demos. I don't know why and I don't know when it happened, but we just don't get demos anymore. And now that Steam has offered an alternative, why should we feel bad for taking advantage of that?
Well, there's also the other argument that it's one of the things where media stops, and this tells everyone how old I am. One of the reasons like vendors of media stopped offering refunds is because they would like sell a CD or a DVD. And someone would just take it home, rip it, and bring it back to the store. You can't actually do that with a Steam purchase. You can't. You can't buy a game off Steam, rip it to your hard drive, and then give it back. It's impossible.
That's, as far as I know, that is impossible.
And the only way you could do that, it, like you said, is through piracy, in which case no one gets anything other than the thief. And I think that there was a time, and I think it was around about the mid-90s, I think you would have been about two, Clinton, but I think that a lot of retailers, especially retailers that were dealing with a predominantly young consumer base, got very, very used to telling that consumer base to go to hell when it came to customer relations. And I think that's kind of carried through now. That having been said, I mean, it's not like Steam has sent loads and loads of people, or not that you can find anyway, email saying, you bought several games, you wanted refunds from all of them, well, go to hell, right? Yeah. People are basically saying they're getting their money back, so there doesn't really seem to be an issue here.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave it a bit open-ended. I'm going to say, if you are a publisher or developer, tell us if you have a problem with this, basically. Mm. But I wish you guys would just make demos again. The only arguments I've heard against demos are that it takes away from time to make the actual game, which I understand. I know that it isn't as simple as, like, if you have a movie, you just cut out 10 minutes of the movie and offer it for free. A game is much more difficult than that. I understand, but you guys should really just offer demos. You brought this on yourselves. I know some games offer demos, like Doom 2016 had a demo, which was fantastic. I wish you'd just make them again.
The other problem with demos is that sometimes the demos that were made, I've played some in the past, which are just not either representative of the game or made me just completely lukewarm towards the game. I remember playing the demo for The Last of Us back in the day on the PS3, and I thought, this is the biggest load of bollocks I've played in a while. I'm not getting this. And then, of course, The Last of Us came out and it was getting A's and 10s and stuff. All right, then I'll give this a go. And I was like, why did you put that part of the game out as the demo? That was terrible. I mean, the rest of the game, brilliant. But this part of the game, crap.
Sure, but that again is a fault of the developer or the publisher for making a bad demo.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and then you also get into more minutiae where it's like a lot of games, like RPGs, don't really become like fun, quote-unquote fun, or they don't open up until more than 2 hours in. So you can play 2 hours and think, this is terrible, and then your friend who played 4 hours in is like, no, this is the best game. So yeah, there's a lot of problems with the system. There's a lot of problems with demos, if they even existed now. But if you want a refund, I think you should do it. If you play a game for 2 hours and it's not what you expected, or if it doesn't even run, I mean, we're just talking about personal taste and if you like the game or not. Sometimes you buy a game on PC, it doesn't run. And then you obviously wanted a refund for that. Yeah, let us know on Facebook or Twitter what you think of Steam's refunds. We're all for it, it sounds.
No, I'm against it. I've changed my mind.
It's not like you pitched that. Well, I mean, look at it this way. It's kind of like, if you imagine like how many times people who run stores like CD stores or game stores or bookstores especially, there are people just standing around there for hours on end, browsing, having no intention to actually buy a damn thing. At least this way, you know, these consumers have got the cash to pay for a game in the event that they'd like it. It's not like they're wasting anybody's time. Anyway, speaking of games, there is an event I'm heading off to tomorrow. We're all out of the office tomorrow, actually.
Are we? Very oh, yes, we are.
Well, you're off to the medical tech conference in Midrand. Have you had a look at what's going on over there?
Yes, I have, actually. I'll tell you that in a bit, but tell us about the event that you're going to tomorrow.
Okay, so I'm going to essentially an all woman gaming event tomorrow at the Nexus in Randburg. If you haven't been to the Nexus, what?
All woman? Like the all woman Wonder Woman screening?
Yes, Brendan.
Nick, but how are you going then? That makes no sense.
I'm covering the event as press.
Okay. Doesn't really make sense, though, but...
Yes, it does, right? Not everybody who works for a newspaper has to play video games in order to cover Rage.
Fair enough. No, you don't get the joke, Nick. How can it be an all-woman event if your very presence makes it a non-all-woman event?
Because I'm not taking part in the event.
He's wearing a wig.
Nick's just gonna stand.
Let's just leave it there.
Nick's gonna stand in the wigs. He's gonna stand in the fern, or he's gonna get a telescopic lens and form it from the street.
I feel like this conversation is going to result in a lawsuit very quickly.
I'm just making a joke, man.
I'm glad that you're conveying to our readers the maturity of both our staff and the methods we use to gather news, Clinton. Yes. Anyway, the idea basically came. I was being sponsored by Acer, and I was organized by Acer, and what was her name? Sam from Tech Girl.
Yeah.
And essentially, the idea is like, all right, to basically create a space where if you've ever felt intimidated by the prospect of games, or you want to just meet more female gamers, this is the place to go to. They're going to be doing everything from like, try out your first game to meet esports professionals. So there's quite a range there. And of course, you know, being the Nexus, it will have amazing milkshakes, pricey milkshakes, but very, very amazing milkshakes. So, that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow.
So, is it like a LAN?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I think it's kind of a LAN / orientation course, if I read the press release correctly.
Okay. Seems pretty cool.
And there's,
I would love to go to a LAN that isn't the Rage LAN.
Why not? What do you have against the Rage LAN?
Have you ever been to the Rage LAN?
No, that's why I'm asking.
So it's like 50 something hours of sitting in one place, surrounded by people that smell bad, and aren't talking to each other. It's not exactly the most fun thing if you're over 25.
Wow.
So yeah. This is really cool, though. I saw this last week while I was being a Lord of Leisure, and I thought this was really cool. And I was kind of waiting for the miscreants of the internet to turn around and say, "How can you have a gaming event only for girls? This is discrimination." And I was surprised not to see that, which is very nice.
I don't know about it. I mean, maybe it's because our gaming community here is quite small, and maybe because there's more considerations going on in our lives than, you know, games. Yeah. I mean, you might remember Gamergate lasted about 20 seconds over here.
Yeah.
You know, which was great. You know, in the UK, it was a forest fire that burned for the better part of about 4 or 5 months. But over here, it was kind of like, oh, these people are corrupt. Who? These people. Well, then don't read them. Right, cool. Problem solved. We can move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So it could just also be, it's like, you know, maybe for some reason it's just people have better things to complain about. I mean, look at the news cycle. You can complain about that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but you, like you said, I mean, like, you know, you've got like those all women screening of Wonder Woman overseas, and people are losing their marbles. It's like, really, really, really.
You know what gets me about that whole situation was that, like, there are girls' nights everywhere now because it's a movie about a comic book character getting offended. Like, is do you have that little going on in your life? You know, it's just, yeah.
Especially when you also point out that there were all male screenings for Logan.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that.
There you go. Knowledge is power. Speaking of which, you're going to be looking at medical technology tomorrow.
Yes. So it is the African Health Conference 2017. And there's a whole bunch of stuff there that I don't understand, like medical law and nursing and all these sorts of things. But like, we've noticed in the past couple of years that technology and medicine have started to come together in a really big way.
So we're going to look at some of the problems that we have here in Africa, not just South Africa, but the rest of the continent, as regards technology and bringing it into Africa, how technology and medicine can be combined here in Africa to solve African problems. And yeah, it should be quite interesting. I look forward to being in a room full of people that are way more qualified than me.
That's cool. And you're off to look at drones, Clinton.
Yeah, drone con. I'm not really a drone enthusiast myself, but I do find them interesting. Now, see what I can see. I think some of the parts of it are going to be streamed. If that's the case, I have the story. If it's not the case, well, you can't really do anything about that if no one's streaming.
You could take some decent photos, though. I mean, I'm sure there'll be something interesting to look at.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very expensive to attend, though. I think it's 4,000 Rand for the 3 days. It starts tomorrow. It's from the 7th to the 9th. It is a lot of money. I think anyone who is willing to go already knew about it and has looked it up already. But if this is news to you, just Google Drone Con 2017 South Africa. You should get a site and you can click around. But yeah, it's very expensive.
No. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up the trip.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Okay, well, in that case, thank you very much, Clinton.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Brendan.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Nick.
And I guess we'll see you all next week. Cheers.
See you, everybody. Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.